Sadducees and Pharisees.
Good morning, church. Happy New Year. So glad to be back, seeing all of you sitting here in the first day of the year. Hope you all had a good time last night, whether you had a countdown party, sleepover party, or just went to bed early. I came back two nights ago from a three-week trip to Hong Kong to see my family and friends since we've been away, since COVID hit. And more importantly, the grandparents from both sides have been desperate to see my children again and how they have grown so much. We had a great time there. And my sleep schedule now is all messed up. My kids have been up playing Uno all night, of all games. So my spirit is back in Vancouver, but my flesh is still adjusting. It's gonna be nighttime soon. So I hope you will bear with me today. And today, we continue with the book of Acts, chapter 22. Paul was arrested in Jerusalem. In front of an angry mob, Paul seized the chance to share his personal testimony and the gospel. And now on the next day, he is brought before the chief priests and the Jewish council of leading rulers. We will learn how Paul continued to keep his composure in the face of opposition, and how he tapped into the deepest disagreement between the two most prominent Jewish parties at the time, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They present two vastly different ways of living, and we will come to see how their worldviews have very real implications to the way we live in today's world. So let us pray before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together in the new year as your church, under your word. Open our eyes and open our hearts again, and help us learn from the Acts of the Apostles by the Holy Spirit. Let the reality of Christ challenge our worldviews, so that by your Holy Spirit, we can live in accordance to the unending realities of faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I'll start with this famous movie scene. It's a classic. You recognize it? Red pill, blue pill. And I have them here with me. I got a blue pill and a red pill. I asked Glory to help prepare for me. They are bear shaped because these are my kids' vitamin tablets, but they are blue and red. I've got them with me today. I'll put them here. And about them, it was said, you take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes, says Morpheus in the classic scene, very memorable scene in the movie The Matrix. The movie tells of a future world where all human beings are enslaved by machines. Humans only live inside their heads in a simulated reality created by the machines. By taking the red pill, the protagonist, Neo, wakes up from the simulated world, and as we would call today, the metaverse, and enters into the real world ruled by the machines. We all live our lives according to the beliefs we have formed in our heads about the world around us. Some of these beliefs we know and we are able to articulate, and sometimes we simply live our lives according to some unspoken belief or rules. The word to describe this idea is worldview. Merriam-Webster defines worldview as a comprehensive conception or apprehension of the world, especially from a specific standpoint. Whether we know it or not, we all have and continue to develop a worldview in our heads. You can imagine worldview as a set of glasses that each of us wears all the time. Everything we see around us in the world is filtered and seen and understood through this lens that we have, called the worldview. And it is from a specific standpoint that we see the world and make decisions accordingly and act accordingly. And in today's passage, we read about two dominant Jewish political parties in the New Testament times. The first group are the Sadducees. I put them on the side of the blue pill. The second are the Pharisees. I put them on the side of the red pill. I'll explain that later. But these two parties, they hold very different worldviews. Each of them represent a specific way of seeing and living in the world. But let's go back to the passage and see what had brought these two groups to clash with each other today. In Acts chapter 22, Paul, after being arrested in Jerusalem, and after boldly giving his testimony in front of an angry mob, on the next day, he was brought before the chief priests and all the members of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the religious court of Jewish people at the time. And Paul was accused of spreading false teaching and defiling the holy place. So the Sanhedrin, naturally, was the appropriate place to put him on trial. And then we read that in the passage. Paul looks straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." And just as he did to the Jewish crowd, Paul calls the Jewish Sanhedrin his brothers and identifies himself as one of them. But at the same time, he continues to hold fast to his integrity and his being blameless before God. But at this, the high priest at the time, Ananias, orders Paul to be struck on the mouth. Paul responds with indignation and calls him a whitewashed wall. And then he was immediately told off by those around him, saying, "How dare him insult God's high priest?" And at this, Paul, interestingly, he took a step backwards. He explained, "Brothers, I did not realize he was a high priest. For it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" So in effect, Paul apologized to the people around him. And on apologies, one of the things I have learned since coming to Canada is that Canadians are famous for saying sorry a lot. Although I have not received my Canadian citizenship yet, but I have picked up this Canadian enthusiasm of saying sorry to other people. What I've noticed about myself, though, is that saying sorry can sometimes become reflexive. It becomes just an action without giving it any thought. And sometimes I may say sorry just to get myself out of a situation as quickly as possible. It is fine to do that for some minor things, minor infractions. Say I accidentally bumped into someone or cut ahead in line. But however, I've noticed when some sorries are not well thought out before being said, some being simply being said in reflex, these sorries, they affect our ability to reflect upon our actions. And in fact, it hampers